By now, you've heard a thing or two about the possibility of drought in our region this year. The powers that be noticed the relatively water-free winter months ago. California's governor declared drought statewide in January. And plenty of other jurisdictions are making similar moves to prepare for the coming dry season. Those include the city of Ashland, which is talking about changes to the management of city parks to account for the lack of water. We have three guests, all from the Ashland City Administration, with us here on the Jefferson Exchange. Dave Canner is the Ashland City Administrator. Dave, thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Mike Fought is with us. He's the Public Works Director. Welcome back, Mike.
Thanks, Jeff. Good morning.
And another repeat guest, the Water Conservation Specialist for the City of Ashland, Julie Smitherman. Julie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Dave Canner, I have to believe that you've been thinking about drought strategies for quite some time now. Is that true?
Well, we've certainly been having a lot of conversations in anticipation of having a very, very low water year this summer. And to the extent that we can, we would like to take the least impactful course of action. So we've held off to the extent possible before taking any drastic measures. But I think if we've ever had a summer where drastic measures might be necessary, this is it. The snowpack right now is as low as we've ever seen it. Rita Reservoir at the moment is full, but we get some of that sunny 90-degree weather like we're forecast to have later in the week. The reservoir levels can start dropping very, very fast. So we're already seeing inflows into the reservoir down at mid to late summer levels, and it's best to be prepared. It's the old Boy Scout motto, be prepared.
Mike Fought, when we talk about the levels coming into Rita Reservoir, which is Ashland's main reservoir up in the mountains behind town, so the flows are already down where they'd be along about the middle of the year because of the lack of snowpack?
Yeah, and maybe to put that in perspective, our water supply, summer water supply, is dependent on the snowpack. So all we're seeing right now is the effects of rain coming down. In comparisons, in the 2001 or 2009 drought, we had 41 inches of snow. And now we have about 10 inches of snow, and that's really why we're very concerned. As Dave said, the reservoirs are full, but we're worried about being able to sustain those flows as we move into summer, which is why we move forward with the TAP project, and I can talk about that in a minute. So.
All right, yeah, we'll get to the TAP project, which is the Talent-Ashland-Phoenix water pipeline. Yes, a major issue here. So 41 inches of snow 5 years ago, 10 inches this year. Did the recent storms help at all in bolstering the snowpack? I mean, we all got up in the morning and looked and went, wow, snow in the mountains, but not a lot, I'm guessing.
Well, I didn't look at the today's snowpack, but it was last Thursday was 10 inches of snow. I drove over the pass last night coming back from Chico, and there was no snow on the pass when I came through there. So.
All right. So not a real effect from this most recent round of storms. Julie Smitherman, when Dave Canner talks about trying to take the least impactful moves, what are some of the smaller ones that are taken from your office leading up to a season where you know you're going to have some issues with water later on?
Well, some of the things that we do right now is just start to get the message out and provide the community with resources and information on ways to conserve their water use. We've always got programs running through the year, several programs, and including rebates and resources for the community. Some of the rebates we offer are for toilets, washing machines, and dishwashers. If we going into this summer, some of the short-term changes that you can make are things such as taking shorter showers or not watering your landscape as often. But then we also encourage making long-term changes as well. And those would include maybe doing complete retrofit to your irrigation system, making it more efficient, maybe replacing some of your lawn that you don't use with some drought-tolerant plants. And so those are some of the long-term and short-term changes that we encourage and hopefully will minimize the impacts of any type of shortage that we might have.
I recall one of your predecessors years ago seemed to have a whole closet full of low-flow shower heads and things like that. Is that still the case?
Oh, yes. We have several low-flow shower heads. We are giving those away for free right now, including low-flow aerators for bathroom faucets, as well as soil moisture meters to test the soil so that you know when is a good time to water.
Have you gotten to the point, do you think, Julie Smitherman, where people are aware enough of, first, that they live in a semi-arid place, it doesn't rain much in the summer, if at all, and that there's the drought situation? Have you wrung a lot of conservation already out of the populace in Ashland, do you think?
No, you know, I think there's still a lot to educate as far as the community goes, but I do think that we have a very in-tune community and are very well aware of the situation, and so I think that many people are already taking steps to conserve water use going into the summer.
Right, so that accounts for the public. Dave Kanner, when it comes to the city, have you announced or have you implemented any further restrictions this year? I mean, we talked about the least impactful changes thus far, so there have been some directives already, I'm guessing, at least to city departments and parks as well?
Well, really the only thing the city has done at this point is decide that we're not going to plant any new landscaping materials. And to the extent that we do need to plant, we're going to wait until October. I doubt that it's going to be all that noticeable to the public at large whether we plant some annuals in the park or not, or whether we put some new shrubs in the medians. And we would certainly encourage everyone to think very carefully before putting in new landscaping. Worst case scenario, it gets hot and dry this week and it stays hot and dry all the way through August and the reservoir gets drawn down at a much too fast rate and we get into a situation where we have to curtail outdoor watering. That is the worst case. We simply make it a code violation to use any water outdoors. And in that case, if you've planted some new landscaping and you're unable to water it, there's no guarantee that landscaping is going to survive. So really what we're doing is trying to set the example and say, we're not going to plant any new plant materials, and maybe everybody should be thinking along those lines as well.
So nothing, you're saying not planting of any new plantings in Ashland Parks this year?
Right, and that goes right down to the annuals that the garden club is normally out this time of year planting. Again, for someone who's just strolling through one of the parks, I don't think it's going to be all that noticeable. But again, I think city government has an obligation to set the example for the rest of the community.
We're talking about watering in the city of Ashland as the drought approaches. We suspect the drought anyway. You're hearing from city officials Dave Kanner, the Ashland City Administrator, Julie Smitherman, the Water Conservation Specialist, and Mike Font, the Public Works Director. Join our discussion on the exchange if you have some questions or comments about what's going on here. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm just curious to know, Mike, at the peak of this season, I mean, how fast is the level dropping in the Rita Reservoir?
Well, I think to put that in perspective, Jeff, generally the majority of our demand is in the summer. We have about 1.5 million gallons a day. That's our domestic demands, wintertime demand. And then the irrigation side of it, that jumps up to almost 7 million gallons a day. And so what we're trying to do with our conservation messages is to make sure that our citizens don't over-irrigate. And I think the whole curtailment plan that we have lined out really starts moving that back towards ultimately the lowest level, gets us pretty close to just domestic levels at that point.
So. Right. So the curtailment plan is not just a lack of planting. It's also about holding off on irrigation in city parks as well?
Well, actually, no. The curtailment, and I think Dave talked a little bit about more drastic measures.
Curtailment for actually the folks
right,
in town.
Right. We have a curtailment plan that we would implement if we have to, and in terms of if we start seeing that reservoir start draw down too fast, then we would recommend different levels of curtailment to control that. First levels generally is the voluntary. And our community really responds very well to voluntary. In 2009, they dropped their demand by 1 million gallons a day. And then ultimately we end up at stage one. And again, our community responded very well. So I think Julie said it very well. Our community is in tune, and they respond very well to these informational, I think, the bits that we put out there. So.
Dave Kanner?
Yeah, I just want to expand on what Mike was saying. That what I was talking about is an absolute worst-case scenario.
Sure.
And we go through measured stages of curtailment if necessary. And what we do in curtailment is go to our customers and say, you have this much water that's available to you, and you can decide how you want to use it. And if you want to use it to water your vegetable garden but not do any laundry the rest of the summer, hey, that's fine. You can make that decision. And then at the second stage, you get even less water. So maybe you're not only not going to do your laundry, you're only going to shower every other day and maybe not wash your dishes either. And then there's a third stage where it gets tighter. And the fourth and final stage, which the city has never gone to, I just want to say that the city has never gone to stage four curtailment. Then we say no outdoor watering of any kind because we have to save all of our water strictly for domestic purposes. One other thing I want to say about the parks is a number of our parks are actually on TID water. So they will continue to be able to keep the parks green and lush, but they're not using city water to do that. They will nonetheless, as a symbolic gesture, not plant any new landscaping in those parks.
All right, so it's two different systems here we're talking about, and I want to get to the tap one in just a moment, but I want to ask Julie Smitherman first. We were just talking about the dishwashers and washing machines and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know, I mean, for example, an automatic dishwasher, you have maybe 2-3 days worth of dishes in there. I mean, how much water does that use in a current model, for example, versus hand washing the dishes?
Well, as long as you fill the dishwasher full before you run the cycle, that is where it saves you the most. And current dishwashers, Energy Star dishwashers, use about 6 gallons per load. Older models use around 16, 17, getting up there maybe up to 20 gallons per load. And so depending on whether or not you fill up your dishwasher all the way before you start it, that can save you quite a bit of water versus just letting the faucet run while you're washing dishes in the sink. The dishwasher is a very small percentage of the indoor household usage, and actually toilets are the highest use of water indoors, toilets and showers and laundry. And so that's also why we give the rebates for those items, for the toilets.
I was doing the comparisons in my head. A dishwasher mm-hmm. that uses 6 gallons of water is going to be about 3 toilet flushes worth of water.
Exactly.
On an older toilet.
Yes.
But most of them are down about 1.6?
Most of them are down by 1.6. We offer a rebate if you're replacing a 1.6 or anything greater than a 3.5, and we'll give you a rebate to replace those with a WaterSense labeled 1.28 gallon per flush toilet.
1.28. So a rebate, you mean for the whole price or just for part of it?
It mostly covers if you replace a 3.5, you'd get $75.
Really?
And right now the cost of toilets are pretty low, and you can find one for even between $75 and $100. So it could definitely cover the cost of the toilet.
All right. You'll get a lot of phone calls. I'm sure you do already. What is the phone number directly to your department?
It is 541-552-2062.
2062, 2062, 552, 2062. We'll make sure that's on Facebook as well. We have a listener question from Sadie in Ashland. Wants to know if the Parks Department is going to stop watering the athletic fields in the parks during the day.
You know, I don't know the answer to that question because I don't know if the athletic fields are on Talent Irrigation District or city water.
All right, if they're on TID water.
If they're getting their water from TID, and I don't know if either of you know.
Was that for SOU? Is that what you said?
Well, no, it's the, it says the athletic fields. I assume that's for the city parks.
I know the SOU athletic fields, those are on TID. Mm-hmm. And so we are working directly with SOU and the other school district at Ashland High School to work on watering schedules and make sure that we're doing everything as efficiently as possible this summer.
Right, but that is part of the point of the whole situation, is that Ashland's water supply is such that the reader's not enough for everything you need. And so you do end up tapping into the Talent Irrigation District during the hottest parts of the summer. But there's also the TAP project, the Tashlin Allen, Talent Ashland Phoenix. I've only lived in the area 29 years. What the heck? Project. And Mike Flott, tell us about that and the progress of it.
And just before I talk about that, Jeff, we actually have another source. We use TID water also as a supplement to our water supply. So that'll be the first thing that we do as we start seeing the demand go up. We'll add 1.5 million to 2 million gallons a day of TID water in preparation for what we see as the worst drought that we've seen in history. We also had recommended the City Council that we expedite the TAP project, the Talent Ashland Phoenix line. It was already scheduled to be constructed next year, but we decided that in terms of being prepared for this year, that we'd try to have this thing constructed by August 15th. Council last week approved that final request. So we have our contract engineer working on that project with the right now still target date of being completed on August 15th. So.
All right, so really, that fast. And where does the line terminates in Talent now, right?
Well, yeah, it's Creel Road. We'll bring it from Creel Road essentially right up to Schofield is where we'll build it. And it's putting in a water line is fairly straightforward, but it's a fairly complex project in terms of a pump station and interacting with the Phoenix and Talent water system and our water system. So,
is there some preliminary engineering work going on already? I noticed some utility trucks and things like that with the flashing lights out by Creel Road just the other day.
Well, that's what's really the biggest challenge of this project is we're engineering and moving forward in construction all at the same time and have a great engineering firm that's working with our city. So.
Dave Canner, I know this has been asked before about the city of Ashland, why it didn't hook up sooner to the tap line.
Well, that's a political question that I can't answer. It goes way back before my time.
And anybody else aware of what the history was there, Mike Font?
Yeah, I know that it's been a recommendation for several years in 08, and I'm not sure why the council, just before I got here, decided not to move forward with the project. At one point, it was really meant to provide a long-term supply. When we went through the new master planning process in 2012, we really decided that this would be an emergency supply only. So I want to make that really clear. This is really designed to be used during drought or floods or wildfire situations, and it's not meant to be a constant source of water to the community.
And what this is it would give the city of Ashland the ability to tap into the Medford water supply.
Correct.
Coming down from Big Butte Springs.
And it brings 2 million gallons a day, and so that's really going to be important this summer.
All right, and Julie Smitherman, I just got passed a note here about the city offering free evaluations for irrigation. Is that right?
Yes, we do. We will send someone out from conservation, and they will evaluate an irrigation system zone by zone to check for inefficiencies, and then also work with the customer to develop a schedule that's specific for their landscape. And so these are offered as a free service from the city. And one thing that we'd like to encourage people to do going into this summer is to not water too early in the year. It's been raining right now. I have seen sprinklers running even though it has been raining, so just be conscious that go out, turn your irrigation system off if you do see that it's going to be raining. Look into the future, see if we are expecting some precipitation, and then not watering too early in the season will actually encourage deeper root growth, and you'll have a more drought-resilient landscape going into the summer months.
All right. My thanks to the folks in the city of Ashland, Julie Smitherman, the water conservation specialist, Mike Font, the public works director, Dave Kenner, the Ashland city administrator. Best of luck, and thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.